Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the gospel reading for today, the account of Jesus' transfiguration. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, how many times in your life have you asked, will this never end? Will this never end? When was the last time you asked that question? Maybe it was this past week as you sat in your car waiting yet again for a train to go by. Will this never end? Some of these trains are more than 2 miles long. Will this never end? Maybe it was this morning as you listened to the news on the radio and there's yet more talk about war in Ukraine. And you shake your head and you think, will this never end? Will war never end in this world? Maybe it was the other day when you heard about that friend or relative who's sick and in the hospital. Will this never end? Will sickness never end in this world? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we look within ourselves and we ask this same question. We look at our behavior, we look at our sinful patterns and our choices, how we do over and over again the very things that we told ourselves we weren't going to do anymore. And it feels like our struggle against selfishness and sin will never end. It'll never end. In today's gospel reading, Jesus has a message for us about things that will end and things that will not end. Today's reading begins with these words, now about 8 days after these sayings, which should make you wonder, okay, 8 days, what happened 8 days ago? What was going on back there? And for that, we go to the beginning of Luke chapter 9. About 8 days before the transfiguration, Jesus had asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter had responded with the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. So far, so good. But what Jesus said next must have sounded anything but good to those disciples. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. That was an awful lot for the disciples to take in. Be killed? What was that about? And on the third day be raised? What did that mean? You and I get to read all this in hindsight. We know the story. We know what happened. We know how it all turned out. These disciples have no idea what's coming. They're very confused about the whole thing. And they barely had time to begin digesting that message about what lay ahead for Jesus when he followed it up with another message about what lay ahead for them, for the disciples. Jesus said earlier in Luke 9, he said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That was what lay ahead for these men. Their Messiah would be killed and they would live their lives of daily cross-bearing, daily dying. This does not sound good at all. This is a very sobering message. Was that really what all of this was leading up to? Cross-bearing and dying? Was this what Jesus had to look forward to and his disciples as well? So with all that in the background, We then fast forward 8 days to the events of today's gospel. Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on the mountain to pray, and what they see there is like nothing that has been seen before. Jesus is transfigured before them, meaning his appearance changes. His clothes become dazzling white. Even the appearance of his face changes. Matthew's account tells us that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and there are with Jesus Moses and Elijah, two great heroes of the faith from centuries past, heroes of the faith who had died and gone to heaven many centuries before. So what is the significance of all of this? Jesus is giving his disciples a much needed lesson in things that will last and things that will not last. Things that will end and things that will not end. This revelation of Jesus in his divine glory shows the disciples that Jesus truly is the Christ, the promised one, the Son of God, just as Peter had confessed 8 days earlier. To leave no doubt, God the Father said on the mountain, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." And why do they need to hear this at this moment? So they can know as they go forward, so they can know that suffering and death will not be the end for Jesus. This one who will suffer and die is the Son of the living God, and death cannot hold him. As the disciples are seeing with their own eyes, Jesus is the light of the world, the light that no darkness can overcome. Yes, he will suffer and die, but neither the suffering nor the death will last forever. Suffering and death cannot and will not be the end for this one who stands before them radiant in divine majesty. And neither will cross-bearing and death be the end for Jesus' disciples, including you. The presence of Moses and Elijah on the mountain testifies to the glorious future that awaits all who abide in the faith. Moses, as you remember, had gone through a great deal in his life. Few prophets had experienced more opposition than Elijah, but that hardship for these two, it had not lasted. What had lasted for them was their fellowship with God. Moses and Elijah had passed through the temporary trials of this life into eternal joys at God's right hand. And so it is for all who believe. Suffering is not the end for those who trust in the Lord. Instead, a crown of life awaits. The hardships and sorrows and disappointments of this world may seem like they last forever, and they make us ask, will this never end? The answer is, yes, it will end. They will not last forever. Life with God in heaven will last forever for those who have faith in Jesus. But someone will ask, can't we just skip over the hard part, the suffering? This is what Peter seemed to be thinking maybe when he offered to build tents for Jesus and Moses and Elijah so they could all stay on the mountain. If they can stay on the mountain, then they wouldn't have to go back down to the real world, to the suffering that Jesus said was coming. But Jesus had something better in mind. Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration with his disciples so that he could later be lifted up for them and us. Lifted up on the cross of a different mountain, Mount Calvary. On that cross he suffered for us so that our suffering will not last. He died on the cross for our sins so that sin and death will not be the end for us. And He rose from the dead to proclaim the good news that He has made a way for us through death into eternal life. Some things don't last in this world. Some things last forever. In Jesus' transfiguration, we're given a preview, a taste, a glimpse of the unending glory that Jesus has secured for us on the cross. So that when we go through hardships in life that seem to last forever, we can be comforted with the good news that the suffering of this life is always temporary. And there is awaiting for us a life in heaven which with God, which will last forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.